Hello and welcome to episode number 54 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson. You sound a little bit under the weather, Keith.
I'm feeling absolutely rotten. So yeah. Dragged myself out of bed to be on the show this week, and then I'm going straight back to bed.
Dedication.
I feel like I missed last week, so I thought I can't miss 2 weeks in a row. Can't let you down again. So there you go. How are you?
You all right? I am well. The sun is shining up here in the northwest of England. It's a beautiful day today, actually. It's supposed to be a nice weekend as well, which is good. I'm good. Been busy this week doing bits and bobs. I'm sure we'll talk about some of it in a minute.
Yeah,
exciting stuff.
Hello, Tony. Hello, Xalams. Nice to have you both here, as always. If you are watching along, do leave a little comment for us. Say hi, maybe where you're from. And also just ask us any questions. We love taking questions either on the topics that we are discussing or something completely from left field. It doesn't really matter. Great to have some people here today with us. So Mark, what are we talking about today? I think you kind of set the agenda for the day. So what have we got?
So we've got full site editing starter themes, I'm calling it, based on some work I was doing earlier this week and my experience of that. So we'll have to chat about that. Based around that as well was like me building a site. It's a very simple site. I won't even call it a site, but using full site editing and some of the sort of pain points I had about that, and some of the good things about that as well. And if we get time, some of you may have been, I think some of you in the chat have just said hi, thank you, may have seen that I've had a bit of a Twitter thread going on about OOP, object-oriented code, and classes and things that I don't really understand, so I might just touch on that as well.
That's good. Hoping it gets a bit ranty. No, I don't really.
No rants.
Okay. So first up, let's set the context a little bit. So basically, we're building a bit of a service, aren't we, to set up job boards for people?
Yeah.
WordPress job boards, and someone that doesn't have a WordPress website got in touch. Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how they got in touch with us when they don't have a WordPress website, but it happened.
Well, it turns out they thought they did, but then they didn't. And actually, they do have part of their website, like the news area of their website is WordPress, but the rest isn't. So they thought they did have one, which makes sense.
Okay. So they got in touch with us about integrating their jobs, the job relay service. But they needed a job board as well. And we're like, well, you know, we can't integrate a job board on your main website, but we can build you kind of sub-site, I guess.
Yeah.
Out of WordPress. So you were thinking, well, full site editing has come a long way, apparently. Can I just do this really quickly? Just like spin up a site, give it some styles, some colors, some fonts, and just create like a really basic header, really basic footer, and then drop our job board short codes, they actually are, in the middle. So yep. How did that go?
That went okay, except I had a big problem in that you start off by designing a site, and this, don't get me wrong, this was like a super basic site, the template was super basic, which is why I thought full site editing would work, because you're looking at it and it's just solid colors and some fonts and things, and I just thought this is going to be easy to do. And my main issue was that I started off this project and you need a theme because your site has to run a theme. And immediately that I pick a theme, I think I actually just left it on 2023 at this point, which is the default theme. And immediately it has opinions about design. So immediately it says, right, you want 5 colors. Here are the 5 colors. And yes, there are some I don't know what the proper terminology is, but it's styles. You can choose between different color styles.
Yes.
But I'm like, I don't want 5 colors. I want 3 colors because that's all I've got. So immediately I'm left with this this thing that I can't change. I can change the colors, and I know I can go into the global style section where you as a user can set, you know, can change all these things. But there are some things that are set in stone by the theme, which seems quite strange to me in that if I want to edit my site as a full site editing, I want to start from scratch. I want to say, right, I want 3 colors. I want these 3 colors. I want to, you know, and start like that rather than the theme having opinions about that to start with.
Yeah.
So that was my starting point.
And those opinions are in code as well. So they're not.
Correct.
So we have this concept of a theme, but I think what WordPress is trying to get towards is more a concept of presets and patterns. So, you know, you can have, I mean, it is the theme, but it can be styled by someone who knows what they're doing, but they're doing it in the editor, not in PHP or CSS or like HTML templates. So everything is done in the editor and then can be changed in the editor. Whereas at the minute, that's not the case because you've installed your theme and that has a theme JSON file, which as a layman or like someone who can't, you know, interface with code, doesn't have any access to and can't change some of the things that have been set within that theme.json file.
Exactly.
So WordPress for me now is in this really, really awkward place. It's like, you need these themes, but themes are kind of being bludgeoned to death by people saying that we don't want themes anymore, but we still have them, and the stuff that's in them is inaccessible to the people who this whole system is being built for. I'm confused. I've been confused for ages. I think I know where they're trying to get to, and I think they will get there, but it's not there.
But as a sort of user setting off on a journey to try and build a website, I think what WordPress wants you to do at the moment is to go onto the theme directory and find a theme that is nearly what you want. I think.
Yeah,
and
but
you can customize it.
But you can't.
But I didn't. Go on.
But you can't though, can you? You can't customize everything about it.
Exactly.
Like there's lots of things within themes. Like they're turning. You can turn whole settings sections on and off within a theme. So, like, I can say, oh, that looks really nice. That's the kind of visual kind of vibe I'm going for this new website, this new brand. Install that theme, add a bunch of content to it. It's like, but surely I'm supposed to be able to change the margin and the padding on this type of block. Oh, the theme author's disabled it. Like, then what? You know, it's just like, I don't know. It is confusing. And we have this conversation over and over again where, you know, WordPress, it's trying to be this thing for the user. And it's just caught in this, it's caught in this awkward middle ground at the minute. So, I don't know.
So I ended up thinking, well, what I want is a starter theme, which is like, almost nothing, so then I can go and set these things myself, in a way. So I put out on Twitter and asked for people's out, and lots of people, thank you, got back with lots of ideas for starter themes. Yeah. Automatic have one, I think it's called Blank Canvas, which it literally is a blank canvas. Just one or two things, but Ultimate's a blank canvas. The one I actually used was on Carolina's site, fullsiteediting.com, and she's got like you can build one. What do you call it? Like a wizard that you go through, and then it downloads a theme for you, and you can use that. Yeah. And that enables you to set basic colors, the number of colors that you want, etc., things like that. So I did actually do that, and essentially that's my theme that I started with. And it has no templates in it. So I think when you go into the site editor, you just see index, that's it. And it got me really confused because I originally did it and set the background color to black, which I didn't realize I didn't want to do, installed the theme. Went onto the index template, and then it's like nothing happens because I don't know if you know the site editor, the panel on the left is black. And then because I set my background color to black, the panel on the right was black, but it was empty. So I just had this empty black box that I couldn't click on anything. It was weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, it worked out that it was because it was black. And if I clicked in there, I started to get the block editor. It was a bit strange. And that actually worked. I built up a theme. I set some colors in there. I started setting global styles for things. And I actually got a really simple-looking website relatively quickly, which was good. Still, loads of small things, though, that are just extremely strange to me. So, first thing I did, let's create a header. Dead straightforward. Site logo top left, menu top right. No problem. So, I goes into the template parts, add new, because there's no template parts in my theme, because it's an empty theme. named it header, selected it was a header template part. I don't quite know why you have to tell it that you've got a header footer or not one of those. I don't understand what the difference is. Anyway, press create, and then great, started building my header. And then suddenly realized halfway through that I wasn't editing the header. So when I pressed create, it actually jumped me back into the site editor to manage the index page. So I didn't actually go straight into editing the new thing I'd just created.
Yeah.
Bizarre. I learned when I was trying to include the template part in another template, and it was like, it was gone. I don't have a template part.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so confusing. So that was a bit strange, how it doesn't jump you in the right place. But that's a little bug, I guess, that they can fix. So ultimately, I got somewhere, and the more I started using it, the more comfortable I got with what was where and what to do and how to sort of fix things. Block gap still confuses the hell out of me. Because I had a solid coloured menu bar across the top, and then underneath that was a cover image, which had like a hero image, you know, type thing. And obviously, I don't want the gap between those. I want those to touch each other. Most designs, I would think, when you have a full-width panel, you don't want a gap between the two full-width panels. Yep. You want some sort of padding inside those to be able to separate the content. And block gap puts a gap between the blocks. That kind of makes sense, you know. So I thought, well, I'll remove the block gap. But then my navigation items inside my bot didn't have any gap between them. So as a user, I was really confused as to how I removed this gap. I actually just did it with some custom CSS. I assigned a class to the block, and then just did display margin, bottom, important, none, or whatever it was. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But what it appears to be is that, and this is also confusing, I thought, well, if I click on one of my blocks that I don't want the gap on, can I just set block gap for this block to be none? Well, what confused me was when I clicked on the block, and I think it's called block spacing in the editor, not block gap, which is weird because it's called block gap, I think, in the theme JSON.
Are they the same thing? Like block gap and block? I don't know either.
But the slider was set right to the left, as in it wasn't. There wasn't the block gap. So I was thinking, well, hang on, it's already set to nothing. Well, it turns out it wasn't. If you click it and drag it left again, it sets it to zero, even though it looks like it's already set to zero.
Yeah. So what? It had actually been set to a default value.
Correct.
Yeah. But
the default value didn't reflect in the slider, so you thought it was set to nothing, which is a little strange as well.
Yeah.
An interesting journey.
Did you get anywhere with typefaces?
No, I didn't get anywhere with typefaces. I was trying to typefaces in that, how do I install the custom font in my theme? You know, the font that came. I presume it's just the system font that was using.
Yeah.
How do I do that? I mean, I know. So I looked it up on the web, and again, Carolina's site was great for this. She said there's two methods for doing it. One of them is you download the font files into your theme. So from, like, if it's a Google font, you download the actual dot, whatever they are. That's what ones, put them in your assets folder, and then you just reference them in theme JSON and say, here's a font style or variant, and then say, here's the file for it. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's code. I don't want to use code. I'm in a site editor. I want to edit my site. So I didn't, you know, that's not that one. There's also a PHP function, apparently, register web fonts, but she said that's only available with the Gutenberg plugin. Whether that's still true or not, I'm not sure. Yeah. So there doesn't appear to be a way of adding custom fonts without code, I think. Maybe there's a plugin for it, but then why is there a plugin and why not?
But
I don't know.
Again, I mean, that seems absolutely crazy. I've had the dubious pleasure of working on a Squarespace site recently, and it's amazing the difference between Squarespace and WordPress. I mean, they're both effectively trying to do the same thing, but just the approaches are so different. I found myself really pining for WordPress using Squarespace. A lot of that is just familiarity. Like, I know how to do certain things in WordPress, and I just didn't know how to do those in Squarespace. But then on the flip side, I could very, very quickly go and choose some font families in Squarespace and assign them to my headings and body text, you know, very, very easily. And same with, like, color palettes and things, you know. So Squarespace, it looks like these days, is a platform with presets. I think so. They have. They don't, what do they call them? They call them templates, I think, not themes. And it used to be that you'd choose a theme, and you were pretty much locked into that. Pretty much, I think, locked into that theme.
Yeah.
Now it's just like you're just using Squarespace, and you're putting those blocks together in certain ways, and applying global styles and block-specific styles in certain ways to create your own theme. And I don't know if there's still a concept of like downloading these templates or not, but it is a very, very different way of doing it. They've got some really, really clever stuff. Like they've got this idea of like a grid. So everything on a page is on a grid. You don't get to choose the grid either. It's like just like it is what it is. And I can't remember how many like columns it is. It's probably like 12 or 16 or something like that. But as soon as you like select an element, you can like grab and position that element on that grid and just move it around. Whereas I find WordPress is very web developer-y still, yeah. in its, yeah, concepts. It's like, you know, we've got like flex, we, you know, all the different ways that groups can be aligned. It's basically just like the flex box, but here it's just like,
you, wasn't it, about, yeah, the group block? Because I confused the hell out of me. You had the group block now, and you get three options, and I'm like, I literally don't know what they mean, really. Like,
yeah.
And then you would say, oh, it's based on the flex in CSS, so I understand what they mean. Well, I have no clue what they mean. And then you said, I'll pick the middle one because that's the one you want. And I didn't understand what they really did. And then you've got
Like space between or justify, all that stuff. Yeah, because I know all those because those are CSS values of a CSS property. Whereas Squarespace is just like, it is built for the layman. Like, it is built for someone who is not a web developer or designer. And it's quite striking, the difference. There's some things that were appalling, though. For example, I wanted to have like a really big chunky bit of text, and the only way I could do that is make it an H1. I was like, really? So I couldn't just change the font size, so I had to either make this bit of text, which was a sentence effectively. So is that like little things like that? But again, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there is a way to do that that I don't know about. But yeah, I'd quite like to play with some of the different tools. I'd love to give Wix a go. I know, like, I'd probably want to put my head through the desk, but I would quite like to give it a go and get to know Squarespace a bit more. I've had to get to know Elementor a little bit more because of some of the work we've done with job boards and integrating into that. So I feel like my eyes are opening a little bit, and although there's a lot of really super frustrating things about full site editing in the block editor, but actually it's probably my favorite one.
I agree. I think it's really lots of potential, and it's only going to get better. Just some of the little pain points, you know, were frustrating at the time. And that group block thing, I didn't understand the terminology there as to what it was going to do. And the other thing I thought was interesting was that as a user, and I saw a video from Jamie from Poodle Press about this yesterday. He was talking about this, and like it's very hard to understand what you're editing. So am I editing a template? Am I editing a page? Where am I putting this content? Am I editing this globally or on this page or on this template? Will this change that I make now affect this thing or other things? That to me is very difficult to understand, because it's called the site editor. So why wouldn't I be editing my content in the site editor, which you're not, obviously. You're editing templates. So should it be called the template editor? Because that's essentially what you're doing.
I like that.
You're not really editing your site, because the site... I mean, you are, but the site is... I understand templates and content and pages, but I don't know whether a user would. And that must be confusing. Like,
well, it feels to me like the site editor is the dashboard. It's the whole back-end system, and within that you maybe have design, like global design options and template and a template builder, and then page editors. I think those are like I don't know, but I think you're right. I think site editors are a bit confusing.
I thought that was a little bit confusing, but I must admit the site editor's improved since I last used it with the left-hand panel. It's much easier to understand like where you are in there, but Once that opens up and you start editing something, I think from memory, there's only a little title at the top of the screen in the middle that tells you that I'm editing like a page. And it doesn't really tell me, because it says if you're editing the page template, which is called page, it literally just says page. So you might think, well, I'm editing a page, like a page about me. I don't know. I think that's quite confusing.
I find Elementor way worse in terms of knowing what I was editing. I just didn't. There was just no indication of where I was, what I was doing. I made a bit of a mess. We luckily recovered it, but I made a bit of a mess of a client site, editing a header when I like a global site wide header, and I had no idea I was doing it. Managed to roll that one back, so that was all right. But interesting stuff. Right, we're kind of getting low on time. Do you want to quickly touch on your object oriented programming?
To be honest,
go for it. Let's do some comments.
So, WP development courses. I think that's Frank, isn't it? I think says always download the fonts because of GDPR. So you should be doing that anyway. I guess that's a good idea. And then mentions about the create block theme plugin, and some people mentioned this to me on Twitter as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So this, I assume it's a plug. I've not used it, but lots of people have mentioned it in the comments. Lots of people mentioned it on Twitter as well. It's obviously a plugin where you can use it to build a starter theme that you can then use. So thanks for mentioning that. And many people have said that it will do these things like adding fonts for you and things like that. Eat Paint Studio, Always Open Design says, I think the plan is to merge that with Gutenberg, which actually was going to be my next question, is kind of why isn't that in the site editor in core that I can create my own theme from that? Maybe there's reasons for that, but it seems like that should be part of the product, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Tony mentions about the theme builder plugin helps with fonts, quirky behaviors like with child themes. I've used it to help me get started, which is cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the comments. What about OLP? That was the other one I was chatting to on Twitter. I don't know what to say, really. It was just
how did it come about? What was? I think it's always good to give a bit of context as to where you were when this came about.
So we have a customer that posts jobs to their site, and for some reason, well, I know why it wasn't. I won't go into the reasons why, but for some jobs, the location data, the geolocated data, wasn't being created.
Yeah.
So the client wanted a way to be able to like bulk update the data. So if it failed for whatever reason, they could just go into the admin, tick, 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 tick the jobs that didn't have it, and then update. So I was building something on the bulk edit feature to do that with. And then I needed something, a function or something that actually did the going and grabbing the data, you know, to actually update the data. Well, the job manager plugin that we're using has that in it. Like it does that when you create a post and stuff. So I thought, well, there's no point reinventing the wheel. I may as well just use the function that it uses. Well, it's hidden inside a class. And long story short is I didn't know how to call it, essentially. It was very difficult. It wasn't just like, you know, update job location data, pass it a post ID and a location and it'll do it.
Yeah.
So I posted out on Twitter. Lots of people were helping and sort of suggesting how you could use it. Got it working in the end. That's fine. It's just, and it just came to me like, you know, this object oriented stuff just seems to me so complicated in the way it was trying to do something. So I was having a chat earlier with someone who I would consider an expert actually, and to my surprise, they actually said that was the wrong way of doing it in a way. Like the job manager plugin is not doing classes the way it should be doing it, which was kind of like pleasing for me to hear, really, in that it would be far easier to do it like a normal way in terms of like just create a function to update job location data and so forth.
Yeah,
I just find it super frustrating for things like that. You it's like this thing's here, I want to use it, but it's kind of like what's the word, inside something else that's enclosing it, and I can't get at it, I can't use it. I find it very frustrating. That's my lack of knowledge, no doubt, but I find it very hard for someone to explain how to use it. And then sometimes it appears that you can do it in the way in which I ended up doing it, but then that doesn't work for other classes and other methods, I think they're called, inside the classes. It becomes very confusing to me. So I was just, that was my journey with this. And sort of like people, you know, you should learn this sort of stuff. Absolutely, I should learn this sort of stuff. But every time I start to learn it, the examples in the learning are always really simplistic. Like, you know, here's a cat and the cat has fur and we can have a color of fur. And that all makes sense. But when you come to the real world, it's like, I don't know. It doesn't seem to make sense to me. So,
yeah.
Hey-ho. That was my pain point.
Yeah, you need that. You need that penny drop moment when
that's,
you know, it just like, oh, that's why you do it that way. And I think, well, you find that I don't know anything about this. So, like, you know, I don't write much PHP these days. But it, yeah, it definitely feels like there are these two different approaches. Sometimes it feels like it's just personal preference, but sometimes it feels like there's definitely, you should use object-oriented programming for this stuff, and you should use procedural for this stuff. So it's just, I guess, knowing what those are. But also just, a bit of a deeper understanding. Yeah, I think that is the hard part.
Like in this example, the class was called WP. It's all on the GitHub if you wanted to look at it. WP Job Manager Geolocation, I think it's called the class. And then inside of that, there's methods for, you know, get location data, update location data, change location, blah, 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 blah. And it's like I always assumed that the class was the object. So you might have a job, so you'd have a class for jobs, and then you could do things with jobs. But I don't have a geolocation object. That isn't a thing. So why would it have a class? That doesn't make sense to me. And it turns out that probably wasn't the best way that they should have done it anyway. So it's confusing me. Anyway, there we go.
So are you gonna try to learn some? Are you gonna? I know you've.
I can't see me writing it anytime quickly because it's one of those things, like, I never, it's chicken and egg, though, isn't it? I never sit here and think, oh, if only I could write with object-orientated, this would be so much easier.
Yeah.
And until I get that moment where I'm trying to do something that's like, this is really difficult to do without object-oriented, but then I'll never get that moment because I don't really understand how it works.
Yeah.
So I can't sort of say, this would be miles easier if I did it that way.
Exactly. It's like you'll never know the possibilities of it until you understand it.
Yeah.
Difficult. Tony OOP always, in my opinion. Oh, interesting. Always. That can't be right. Surely. That's, I don't know. Maybe. There you go. Well, good on you, Tony. But yeah. Be interesting, Mark. It'd be be cool if you did have that moment one day and you were able to kind of pass that on. You know, that learning, because obviously I reckon you're not the only one that feels like this. Well, you won't be. So yeah. Very good, very good. So a couple of comments. The expert was right, says Frank. It uses singletons. Never heard of a singleton before. Well, I have, but not in this context. Yeah, which should be avoided as they're impossible to unit test. Ian says you need to work with an existing code base. Yeah, that's interesting, because then you could see how things are put together rather than starting from scratch.
But then it turns out that the existing code base I was working with,
Doing
it wrong. So
it's
a difficult one. Is that one? The other thing I always found really difficult with classes is like removing filters and actions that have been added inside a class.
Yeah,
they just seem to be really difficult to do. And then people that add functions to hooks with anonymous functions that you then can't remove. I mean, that's got nothing to do with object oriented.
Yeah,
because they don't have a name. Strange and frustrating.
Yeah.
There we go. Right, we better wrap it up.
Yeah,
I've half an hour
before I need to curl up in a ball in the corner. The caffeine's starting to wear off. So yeah, it's good to chat with you, Mark, and thanks everybody for joining us today. Always great to have some comments and a bit of conversation going on live. So if you do want to join us live, we are on YouTube. You can find us in the High Rise Digital channel. And if you subscribe and hit the notification bell there, you will get an email whenever a show starts, so you won't miss one. You can also catch us on, where else can they catch us? Any podcast player, really. So just look up WP Cafe on your podcast player of choice. Did this stream on Twitter today? Did you set it up for Twitter?
I did.
Yeah, you did. And we should be streaming on Twitter as well. So yeah. Join us next time, subscribe, follow, do whatever you have to do, and hopefully we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.